Welcome back to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman, here as always with Mike Morial. And Mike, as we record this on February 28th, we are 4 months away from the start of the first round at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. The time is coming up. You can feel it in the air. It's beginning to feel a lot like draft season.
It absolutely is, Adam. We're pumped up right now. I mean, upcoming, there's so much to look forward to as far as the draft coverage goes. And in fact, you know, looking at some of the top players on the list right now from the midterm ranks, Connor Bedard is still lighting it up. We got the Connor Bedard watch that you and I have been focused on every Wednesday on NHL.com. And Adam Fantilli is having a remarkable season. It's amazing, right, Adam? I mean, Adam Fantilli is almost like the secondary thought because of how good Connor Bedard has been. But Fantilli, 20 goals, 30 assists, his 30 assists, second behind Logan Cooley in the NCAA ranks, his points 50, top NCAA, all players in the NCAA, and he's only a freshman, 1.72 points per game in 29 games. And we all know he went on that 12-game point streak after he returned from the World Junior Championships over in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which was fantastic. Had a great run there. And right now, Michigan is seeded number two in the Big Ten tournament. So Fantilli told me in his latest draft diary that they're all looking forward to the Big Ten tournament, which opens up March 3rd. Michigan will play Wisconsin, the seven-seeded team. The University of Minnesota gets the first-round bye. And we all know the University of Minnesota. I mean, Logan Cooley, right? The kid we were pumping his tires last year during the draft and having an absolutely fantastic season for the Gophers this year. So looking forward to the Big Ten tournament. And then the National Team Development Program, when you look at other players that are really doing well, well, for the midterm ranks in Central Scouting's list there, Adam, you look at Will Smith, who was number three in the poll, 35 goals, 49 assists, 84 points. His 84 points are second on the team. When you look at Smith, and I watched some more videos, some recent video of him, real playmaker, has that scoring touch. To me, I almost, you kind of get that Trevor Zegras feel when you watch a Will Smith. Number four, Ryan Leonard, 36 goals to lead the NTTP, 68 points, which is third among all NTTP players. Quick shot. He's real, has that smart game about him. He reminds me a lot of the Matthew Tkachuk type of guy. He's very heavy. He's strong on pucks. He likes to play that physical game. I don't see him, with the mouthpiece sticking out of the mouth, but I do get that feel when I watch Ryan Leonard and what he brings to the ice. And then number six, Oliver Moore. And we like Oliver Moore. This is a kid, real solid. If you want an honest to goodness two-way forward from the NTTP this year, it's Oliver Moore. 24 goals, 55 points, which ranks fourth at the program. When I watch Moore play, I see more and more of a Dylan Larkin type of player. I think good two-way game, honest player. These three players are guys that are going to go relatively high. The leading scorer for the NTTP this year is Gabriel Perreault, the son of Yannick. He's got 40 goals, 53 assists, 93 points, which leads the NTTP. Let's not forget, Adam, too, like there were eight players selected in the 2019 draft led by Jack Hughes, and that was the most that we saw, seven in the top 15. So it was an incredible run in 2019, but this class for the NTTP is looking more and more like maybe it could, be in that second mold there with the number of the caliber of talent that's here.
It'll be close. There isn't a Jack Hughes like there was in that 19 team, but you mentioned Smith, and I really have liked Ryan Leonard. He's a guy that really stands out to me when I watch him. And you talked about all the good things, just the physical play. He's got that power forward mentality. He doesn't have the overwhelming size. Like, he's not as big as you mentioned Matthew Tkachuk. He's not as big as Matthew Tkachuk, but he doesn't play small. He plays a big, robust game. He's feistiness and even the bigger players that he goes against, they're not going to intimidate him. He gets to the net. He produces there. He's got really good. He's a good skater. lot to like there. I think, you know, yeah, this NTDB team, looking ahead to the World Under 18s in April, it's going to be a fun tournament when you see all those guys, you know, against the best of the best in their age group. You're going to really see some special, special moments there. But Mike, you mentioned, you know, we talked about Bedard, we talked about Fantilli and Smith, and five of the six top guys there. We did leave out number five, but we're going to go a little in depth today on Braden Jaeger, center from Moose Jaw in the Western Hockey League. We were lucky enough to catch up with Braden at the CHL-NHL Top Prospects game back in January. Let's have a listen to what we talked about with Braden. Braden Jaeger, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class. How are things going? How'd you say your season's gone so far?
Good. I think, you know, we're having a pretty good season in Moose Jaw. You know, we've had some couple games where we struggled against, you know, bottom teams, but we seem to do really well against the better teams. And I think my season's going well. I think, you know, maybe like to put the puck in the net a little bit more, but I think coming into the year, my playmaking was one thing that I wanted to work on. And I think I've done a pretty good job of that so far. So,
well, Braden, you've also done a great job with the draft diary. Adam,
yes,
outstanding.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
It's great.
Fantastic job. But I know early in the season we talked about goals that, you know, you wanted to attain. Over the second half now, Braden, what are you looking at as far as goals and maybe things you personally want to attain?
Yeah, I think I haven't really set any like numbers or anything like that. I think just kind of just keep playing how I am, honestly. I think continue to do well in face-offs. I think that's a big thing for me. So, yeah, and then obviously I want to win with Moose Jaw. I think, you know, we're setting ourselves up for a pretty good run in the playoffs, and I think we have the team to go pretty far. So I'm pretty excited for playoffs coming up.
I'm curious, when you watch games at the next level, are there guys from the NHL that you watch that you kind of look and say, I can steal stuff from his game to put it into my game?
Yeah, I think I watch a lot of hockey. I try to watch, you know, every night that I can, and you know, try to pick different parts from kind of different players' games. But I'd say the most visible is for me is Nathan MacKinnon. I think just, you know, how explosive he is, and the way he shoots the puck is pretty incredible too. And I like also Jonathan Toews and Patrice Bergeron, just like their 200-foot game and their you know, how good they are in the D zone and with their face-offs as well.
Did you feel any pressure coming into this season, Braden, after, you know, being named CHL Rookie of the Year? Or?
No, not really. I think obviously there's a lot of expectations from people, but you know, I didn't really pay attention to that. I just you know, I thought that, you know, if I just come to every game, take it day by day, then, you know, I'd kind of set myself up for success. But yeah, I try not to put too much pressure on myself. You know, I had two guys from last year go through the draft process, and they just had to enjoy it most of all. So yeah, I've kind of just tried to take it day by day and, you know, have fun with it.
So you mentioned Jagger Furkus and Denton Mateychuk both went through this process last year. What did you learn both from watching them go through it last year and then just from talking to them about, you know, different pressure moments that they might have felt that'll help you as you sort of try to block out all that outside noise and focus on being the best player you can be?
Yeah, I think, especially with Dents, he was, you know, pretty high pick, obviously 12th overall. And, you know, he didn't really, I don't think he really felt a whole lot of pressure. He was pretty good at handling it all. And just a lot about talking to teams, and you know, you do, you know, quite a few interviews and questionnaires like that. So just, you know, talking to them and making sure you're asking questions and kind of just picking apart their brain, honestly, like, you know, asking what you can do to be better and just little things like that. So I think, you know, learning from Denton was pretty cool for sure.
So Braden, after Connor Bedard, you're the highest rated skater in this game. You're having a great season with Moose Jaw. You're number five on Central Scouting's midterm rankings, and obviously Connor Bedard is number one. Is there any pressure on you knowing that Bedard is number one and you're number five as the next highest skater?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, I try not to pay attention to all the lists and stuff. I think, you know, tons of people have, you know, tons of different opinions. So I think I'm just going to come here and just play my game like I've been for the season so far. I think, you know, I think I'm number five because I've been playing the way I am throughout the season so far, so I just continue to keep doing what I'm doing. I think not to put too much pressure on myself, but also showcase why I'm here at the same time.
I want to ask about your brother Connor. What was it like growing up with a brother who also played hockey? What were some of those battles like when you guys were kids?
he was a little bit of a different player than me. He was more of a grinder and big hits and getting the scrums and all that stuff. So it was pretty cool. And yeah, it was, there was a couple funny moments where, you know, I'd get hit and he jumps in and gets in the scrums. But yeah, it was really nice, especially for my parents not having to pick to go to one game. Yeah. But, you know, I'm super close with him, and being able to like share experience with him through hockey was incredible.
But how are the battles just, you know, away from the games? So you guys are playing knee hockey in the basement, or like that, holes in the walls, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we grew up in Prince Albert, and there was tons of holes in the walls. I think my parents just, they were hard. They were like, you know, like hard on us at the start for putting holes in the walls, and I think they kind of just gave up because we knew they're going to keep coming. But yeah, I eventually had to put on shoulder pads and a helmet for mini sticks because he would hit me so hard, and he had, yeah, it was, we had some tough battles for sure.
I know you told me earlier in the season that it's actually in one of your draft diaries, and I would recommend that all the fans out there to go check out Braden's draft diary on NHL.com. But could you just kind of tell the story about you asking Leon Draisaitl for his stick?
Yeah, so I was in Novice, and obviously in Prince Albert, and we had season tickets to the Raiders games and all that stuff. And Josh Morrissey, Leon Draisaitl, and Sawyer Lang came out to one of our practices, and we did like a little all-star competition and like some fun skating things. And then after the practice, I saw him. He was just kind of sitting there, and guys would go up to him and like ask for an autograph or whatever. And I was like super nervous because I wanted to ask for a stick, and my dad was just like, just do it, just do it. And so I ended up going up and asking for a stick, and he said yeah, and he signed it and gave it to me, and I still have it. So it's pretty cool. I was shocked. But
so how old were you at Novice?
I think I might have been eight.
It's
eight
or nine. Good.
Maybe, no, even younger. I think I would have been like seven, honestly. So
pretty brave.
Yeah. It took a lot of guts, but it was, you know, a surreal moment that probably always stick with me. So
that's a great story. So thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class, Braden.
Thank you, guys.
Mike, I love that story on Leon Draisaitl. You know, we've been around, we've all been, like, we have that history in youth sports. I know you do, I do also, where you have to interview the young kid, and they clam up, they get nervous. You know, for him to have the chutzpah at age eight to go up to Leon Draisaitl and say, hey, can I have your stick? And now, granted, yeah, Draisaitl wasn't an NHL player yet like he is now, but still, when you're eight and you see a guy playing for Prince Albert, that's, you know, might as well be the NHL to you. And yes, he got it. And it's in a prized place in the Jaeger household. So that was a neat story.
Yeah, it was. You know, Braden, you know, he's been doing a draft diary for NHL.com. And each week when I call to talk with him about what he wants to discuss in the diary, you know, he's very open and honest in what he wants to talk about. I mean, some of the things he says might be, you know, kind of off the cuff. Some of the things might be robotic in what he says, you know, that, you know, his agents and maybe his coaches tell him, hey, make sure you say this or this when you're comparing yourself to players. But then every so often he gives me a great story or something that happened at home with his brothers, you know, and you actually brought it up too with him too, right, Adam, when he was playing with his brothers and how the competition was between them and what they did. And, you know, for him to you know, actually want to go up to Leon Draisaitl and say, hey, you know, signature would be nice, but can I have the stick? I mean, that takes some guts. You know, fortunately for Braden, he got the stick, and it's something that he's going to treasure for the rest of his life. But hey, you know, Braden's one of those players, Adam, and we've discussed him here on NHL Draft Class before. You know, number five, he goes about 5'10", 166 pounds. We saw him at the NHL Top Prospects game. We thought he played a real honest two-way game. He got a big assist early on in the game and represented himself really, really well.
Yeah, I certainly think so. You know, what stood out to me is, you know, he compares himself or the guy whose game he likes to steal from is Nathan MacKinnon. You know, you see the shot that he has, 24 goals in 58 games this season. You know, he's probably going to break the 34 he had in 63 games last season. So great sneaky shot. He's got a quick release. He can get it off from anywhere. I like just watching video of him and the little bit we got to watch him in person. He's a real puck hound, which I think stands out to me because you see guys guys really, the top level guys, they really want the puck. They demand the puck, and they're willing to go deep on the forecheck and create chaos and havoc and get the puck back when they don't have it. He does that. And I think that's what really stands out to me. And that allows him to kind of get into his offensive game. And I think he's going to be, he's a chance to be a scorer at the next level. I think probably a little bit more than a playmaker. I think he's going to be a guy who can fill the nets. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to be able to do here, especially as we get deeper into the Western League season. Like, you look at the Western League and it's just stacked.
Dominant.
All guys for the 23 draft. We talk about Braden Jaeger. You look at Zach Benson in Winnipeg, and Samuel Hanzik from Vancouver is just getting up and running. And oh, by the way, Connor Bedard in Regina, you know, and that's just a few of them. Nate Danielson in Brandon is another one. You know, you're going to get to see these guys in high level, high intensity games. It's really going to, I think it's going to give scouts a really good read on what these guys are capable of doing at the next level, because these games are going to be hard. They're going to be fierce. They're going to be high intensity. And if you can be productive as we get deeper into the Western League season and into the Western League playoffs, man, that's going to say a lot about what your potential is at the next level, I would think.
Yeah. Right-handed centerman, hard to find. And he's a good one. So he's going to go relatively high here. He has, you know, as you mentioned, 24 goals this season, Adam. He had 34 last year when he was named the Canadian Hockey League Rookie of the Year. You know, and I liked his answer too when I had asked, you know, about winning, you know, CHL Rookie of the Year last season. You know, was there any pressure entering this year after winning such an honor? You know, he's the type of guy who direct pucks, you know, on goal every chance he had last season when I watched tape. You know, this season though, and I've heard, you know, some scouts and some pundits say, well, we really want to see him do more than he has this year as far as goal scoring goes. But let's face it, you know, he's wearing a letter on the jersey. Teams have been focused on him a lot more this year for the role he plays on that team. He's earning big minutes, plays special teams, has played a big role on special teams. So he's earning more assists. He's almost doubling his output from last season. He had 25 and 63 games last year. This year, he's got 42 and 58. So his element remains his release, that great release that he has. You know, when he gets, you know, the edge off the rush or finds pucks in the tight quarters, in the middle of the ice, he's directing the puck on net when he has that opportunity. So his three zone detail, you know, you might want to see that improve a little bit, and it will. That'll come with time, as will that strength and that maturity. He has a lot of space to fill out. So to me, Adam, no doubt about it, I think he has the potential to be that top six, maybe even a top three NHL forward sometime down the road.
Absolutely. And Mike, we're going to get to see Jaeger a lot more as we go forward, but you're going to make a very special trip out west here coming up. You're going to get to see Connor Bedard and spend some time in Regina. How is that? How are we looking forward to that?
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'll get there March 2nd, and you know, Brandt Center is going to be hopping. It's unusual because Regina actually has three consecutive games, Adam. They have a game Friday night, the 3rd, Saturday, the 4th, and then Sunday, the 5th. So it was a great opportunity to get out there, you know, see Bedard play, you know, in his natural habitat, see what the fan reaction is, get an idea what it's all about towards the latter stages of the season here before we get to the Western Hockey League playoffs. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity. You know, on March 3rd, they play Winnipeg, which is going to be a fantastic matchup. Zach Benson, who's number 7 in the midterm ranks for Central, a left wing, goes about 5'9", 160. You know, he's right up there. This is a kid that's really been progressing up the ranks. He was named the WHL Player of the Week for the games ending February 26th. He had 13 points, I believe it was 5 goals over that stretch of games he had there. So looking forward to seeing Zach Benson. Great IQ. For when I was talking to John Williams of NHL Central Scouting, has that IQ, thinks the game incredibly well. It's great in transition, skill, vision. So you know when you have two, you know, big time players going at it head to head, maybe one is always looking to one up the other. So to have Bedard and watch him in that type of setting, and I'll be there with Peter Sullivan, at that game too, Adam, and you know Sully. I mean, this is the veteran guy from NHL Central Scouting. So just to be able to maybe pick his brain as he's watching Bedard play is going to be really interesting. And then an opportunity on the fourth to see Regina play Red Deer, the left wing there, Kalen Lind, who we also saw at the top prospects game, goes about 6'1", 158. He's number 23 on the midterm list. Central calls him a Swiss Army knife type of player. I thought he played really well in that top process. We saw he got into a little bit of a scuffle as well, dropped the mitts. He's a real gritty forward, likes to kind of get into the mix of things, can play that skilled game too. So who knows, maybe Kalen Lind will try to get under the skin of Bedard in that game on Saturday night on the fourth. So it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the trip and maybe getting some little nuggets that we can discuss next time here on Draft Class.
Well, since you're going to be away for the trade deadline, you'll be in scenic Regina for that. Let's talk about what's going on so far, because it does affect what's going to happen at the 23 draft, all the jockeying, all the positioning. You know, you've got the St. Louis Blues now with they've made a couple of trades. They have three picks in the first round. Six other teams will have two picks. Montreal, they have Florida's pick. Vancouver picked up the Islanders selection from the Bo Horvat trade. Now the Rangers have Dallas. They acquired Dallas's pick, so they could have theirs. They could have Dallas's from the Nils Lundqvist trade. Chicago has Tampa Bay's pick from the Brandon Hagel trade last year. San Jose picked up the first round pick from the Jersey Devils in the Timo Meier deal. Washington has Boston's pick from the Orlov and Hathaway trade. So you're seeing teams, and I'm sure, you know, we might get another pick or two in the first round get moved. And I think one of the GMs called them, you know, real hot commodities because of what is available this year in the first round. And, you know, teams are really going to want to, if they can pick up multiple picks in this first round, I think they're going to want to because of the talent level that's available to them. You know, this draft is seen as potentially very deep, potentially very strong across the board at all positions, especially if you're looking for talent up front. So can you envision more teams trying to double up, trying to pick up extra first rounders just because, you know, here's what's available? We talked about a lot of these guys. It kind of behooves you to do what you can to pick up multiple picks in the first round here.
Yeah. You know, I'm listening to you and yeah, it's certainly a feather in the cap to get as many picks as you can in this draft. And next year's draft too is looking like a good one too, Adam. But as you were talking there and about the teams getting picks, I'm thinking about the teams at the bottom and to have a chance at Connor Bedard. I mean, you got a little bit of a race there too, right? With the Blue Jackets, the Ducks, the Blackhawks, the Sharks, you know, all in the mix to possibly, you know, well, they'll be in the lottery to win the lottery and get that number one pick, get that coveted number one pick and have a chance at Bedard. But yeah, I mean, you look at the Tampa Bay Lightning too. I mean, they traded the house to get, Janot recently, the big forward there, the physical forward. And I think they're left with maybe one pick in this year's draft after that slew of picks that they sent.
I looked earlier. They have 2 6s and a 7 for this year. And okay. That's it. They don't have a first round pick again at this point until I think 27.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a first round pick till 27. So look, but Julian Brisebois said it. It's his responsibility to keep the window open as long as he can. And when you've got Stamkos and Hedman and Point and Kucherov all in their prime and Vasilevsky, it's his responsibility to keep that window open as long as possible. And if it means sacrificing, you know, your first round pick in 26 to bring in a guy like Tanner Janot, who you think can, even if he plays in the fourth line, look, they gave up a first round pick for Barkley Gaudreau. They gave up multiple picks for Blake Coleman. They've got two banners hanging in that arena because of it. So was it a worthy trade? Yeah, because I don't know if those players that they picked in the would have picked with those draft picks would have had the same kind of impact that, you know, Ed Coleman and Gaudreau and Brandon Hagel's having now. Hagel's a top six guy for them.
Yeah.
Was it worth it? I think so. Certainly. They certainly feel so.
They're certainly in the mix again. I mean, they just seem to be, you know, reloading every year, Tampa, from the prospects they have in their system. And the other thing, too, is, you know, you look at, you know, what the Devils have done and as far as, you know, getting those prospects, the players that they drafted early on are now in the mix and they're using them as assets to acquire some big name players like a Timo Meier. Shakir Mohamedoulin, a player that they were able to draft a couple of years ago, using him as a focal point in the trade with the Sharks. And Tom Fitzgerald and Mike Greer, obviously, the two GMs know one another from Greer's presence here in New Jersey and what he was able to bring, and now over in San Jose. So they were able to get that done. Funny thing, Adam, I was looking at this. I was looking at my notes during Timo Meier's draft eligible season. I believe it's it was 2015, if I'm not mistaken. And I did ask Meier who he compared himself to in his draft eligible year. And he told me Max Pacioretty. And when you watch Meier now, you could see a little bit of a resemblance to Max Pacioretty, the hard nosed player in the corner. It does some kind of the dirty work. So that's another thing that's always interesting to both of us. Whenever we talk to prospects, draft eligible prospects, and we ask them, you know, who do you compare yourself to? Who do you watch? It's interesting to hear what they have to say, because ultimately that's the kind of player they want to be and want to become. And they wind up, you know, looking a lot similar to, you know, 5-6 years into the league. And in the case of Timo Meier, when he told me Max Pacioretty, yeah, it's a little bit on the ball, but I think it's fair to say that Timo Meier has established his own identity and what he brings to the table. And I think players in this draft class and draft classes to follow are going to be comparing themselves, if they want to the big power forward type, to a Timo Meier.
Sure, absolutely. And I think scouts love when guys are self-aware like that, right? Like we talked about with Braden Yeager, comparing himself to, or not comparing himself, but looking to follow a guy like McKinnon. You know, because if you're accurate with that and you're on the ball with that, teams love to hear that. So, you know, we're going to hear more from the scouts as we move forward here. You know, we're going to, as we get deeper into the draft season, we're going to have on all the great minds from NHL Central Scouting to talk about the top prospects in the Ontario League, the Quebec League, the Western League, which we've talked about today, you know, the U.S. leagues, the NCAA, obviously. We'll go in depth about Adam Fantilli when we do that, the best from Europe. So there's a lot to come, and there's a lot to catch up on. We had Connor Bedard on a couple of times. If you want to hear from the presumptive number one pick in the draft, he's there. Just go back and check out some of the older episodes of NHL Draft Class. And, you know, there's so much more beyond Bedard. We've talked to Dan Marr. We've talked to Jason Bukala from Sportsnet, you know, one of the really good minds of the scouting world. You know, so absolutely, as we get closer to the draft, you want to learn more about who your team could pick, who your team should hope to pick. Go back and listen to some of the episodes of NHL Draft Class and subscribe. Stay tuned. We are going to be busy as we move forward here, Mike. You've got your trip coming up. That'll be fun. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit from Connor Bedard while you're out there in Regina, right?
Yeah, a lot from Bedard. And as you said, keep, you know, check back those past episodes. And Bukala, by the way, had Braden Yeager number 12 in his recent NHL draft poll. So here he is, you know, Yeager is number 5 in the midterm ranks for Central. Bukala, who runs his own poll on Sportsnet, which check that out as well, in addition to the draft class episode that we had with him. But he has him number 12 in his poll. So interesting. And Bukala, in fact, ranks all the players, I might add. So Central does their own list of North American players and international, which is why he might be 5 in North America and on Bukala's list, number 12. But yes, absolutely looking forward to the trip, and Bedard's going to be fantastic.
Well, that's going to do it for now. Stay tuned to all of us. Stay tuned to all of what we have here on NHL Draft Class. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.